series of sermons. It's going to take us through until round about Easter, I think. It's about 12, 13 weeks, something like that. And that we're looking at discipleship. So I'm going to get you to do a bit of work this morning. So just for a moment or two, just with the people around you, and if at this point you're absolutely cringing because you hate doing that, if you really, really don't want to talk to anybody, that is fine. You can be in a group of one, because my preferred group size is often a group of one, so you have my sympathy. But just for a moment or two, what do we understand by the term discipleship? Okay, so if we're looking at discipleship and how we become better disciples, what sort of things does that mean? So just a moment or two, and then I'll ask for a bit of feedback. So if you really want to talk about what you're having for dinner, that's fine, but, you know, just be prepared that I am coming back to you. And I'm not running away, but I am going to go get a glass of water, because I'll cough and splutter. So keep talking. Another few seconds. Funny how when I say that, you start talking louder. Okay, are we about there? Lots of earnest discussions, so you're either all about to have a really nice rest of the day, or we've got some brilliant ideas. So, where shall I start? Sort of up this side, any? I'm sure he has, but I don't pick on him, otherwise I may not get any lunch. I have a vested interest. You want to share your... I can't do anything with him. I don't know whether Claire can. No, she's shaking her head. Okay, what's discipleship all about? Oh, surely somebody's going to talk to me. Being a follower. Brilliant. Thank you. Any more?
Learning the word.
Learning the word.
Being disciplined about following Christ.
Okay. That got an ooh from down there. Anybody else? This side.
It's a daily walk with God.
Brilliant, thank you. Keep going, I won't need to preach a sermon. And then we can have coffee before Mark comes back. No, don't tell on me, will you?
Coming alongside one another and helping one another.
Brilliant, thank you.
Just spreading the word.
Spreading the word.
It's what we... The changes we make in our life to be a follower of Jesus.
Excellent.
Being willing to be discipled and to be guided by others.
Okay. Yep. Okay, that is brilliant. Have I written down anything you haven't said? I better check. That's great. So much that we've covered there. So I'm just going to switch microphones. Green light now. I should have just kept going, shouldn't I? You see, we've got a good idea already what discipleship is about, haven't we? Which is fantastic. I just want to liken it for a moment to physical fitness. Yeah, I heard the groan there. There was just a slight, you know, freeze on her own, know what she's on about. Many of us, me, just in case you don't agree with me. But, you know, I am quite aware that I ought to be fitter than I am. That it would be better for me. I'd be healthier. That it would benefit me in lots of ways. If I was fitter than I am at the moment. Anybody else sort of share that? Yeah. Several of us. We actually, you know, we know, don't we, that being physically fit is really quite a good idea, that we feel better, it helps us look better, it helps us function better, and we can do more things. At this time of year, gyms, swimming pools are absolutely packed because loads of people make a New Year's resolution that they're going to get fit. It's not actually just New Year. You know, during Wimbledon fortnight, tennis courts get packed because everybody says, oh, tennis, brilliant idea. Weekend of the London Marathon, loads of people go out for a run. Because we see it on the telly, we think, brilliant idea. We heard loads, didn't we, this summer with the Olympics and the Paralympics about there being a legacy of sports and about the power that that had to get people, and particularly young people, and there's also lots about getting women involved and physically more active. Whether that proves to have a long-lasting effect, of course, we won't see for some while yet. I don't have a problem with getting in my head that I ought to be fitter. I don't have a problem with the theory that the only way to lose weight is to burn up more calories than I eat. I can understand the logic of it, I can understand the maths of it. So why don't I lose weight? Well, it takes hard work, doesn't it? The only way to get physically fit is to choose what sort of exercise you're going to do and to stick to it. It takes discipline. You've got to build it into life. You need to find time for it. It's hard work. It can hurt as you suddenly find muscles that you'd forgotten were there. And you get out of bed the next morning feeling, you know, like, I don't know what, because everything aches. And it's so easy, when it starts to hurt, to give up. And of course we know that with many New Year's resolutions, that is exactly what people do. It's all a great idea. But often we don't have the discipline and the grit to really stick at it. Of course, anything like that works better if you've got a particular aim in mind. Whether you aim to compete in the 2016 Olympics, or whether you just like to be able to get to the top of the steps without puffing. What your aim is, actually, in itself isn't important, but we need aims, we need targets, we need something to drive us on, so that when we feel like giving up, and when we don't want to be bothered, there's something there in front of us that keeps us going. And I think there's so many parallels there. And you're going to make me feel so much better at this point if I know that it isn't just me who's weak-willed and hopeless and, you know, isn't getting as fit as I ought to be. At least look as though you're with me. The reading that we had from 1 Timothy, Paul talks about godliness. The verse that's on the little card, and if you didn't get one as you came in, please do make sure that you pick one up. There should be plenty still at the back. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. For while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. When we thought about discipleship a few moments ago, loads of great ideas about all the different things that put it together. I think if we had to sum it up in just a few words, I think discipleship is about becoming more godly. It's about being spiritually fit. That word godliness, of course, is not one of the most fashionable words around, is it? It's not particularly cool. Bit unfashionable. You know, we don't sort of talk about it perhaps an awful lot. But if we look at what some of the things that Paul talks about here, it says godliness, it's about holding promise, put our hope in the living God, command and teach things, is don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example in love, in faith, and in purity. There's something deeply attractive about a godly life. And if you look back through church history, yeah, any of the characters who we see achieved amazing things for God. If we read into their biographies, we're almost always incredibly godly people. Some of them have earned the name of saint. But if we think of some of the reformers, some of the people like the Wesleys, you may have heard of James Hudson Taylor, who did a lot of missionary work in China. And their biographies are full of examples of godliness, of just their absolute passion for being more like Jesus. That's what I think discipleship's all about. So, as we begin to look at this, this subject through our services on Sunday, through cell groups, of course we all come to this from wherever we are. Some of us will be spiritually more fit in different places than others. That doesn't matter. We start from exactly where we are, and that's absolutely fine. And just as with physical fitness, the only way to get fit is through exercise, through discipline. Those words discipline and discipleship have the same root word. Not surprisingly, they're sound and are spelt quite similarly. We often think of discipline as being a bit negative. It's what parents have to do to naughty children. Or maybe we think, well, it's, you know, it's what teachers need to do when they've got an unruly class. And we have this idea, perhaps, of discipline being, you know, we don't really like it, we want to recoil from it. But actually, without discipline, our lives would be in complete chaos. Without order, without things to organise us, to plan, we'd be in chaos and things just wouldn't work. Of course, it would be quite nice if it just happened automatically. You know, so we come along to church and we take part in the worship and we go to our cell group. And just somehow, by some process of osmosis, that makes us godly. If we're in God's presence, we will become more like him and it will all be fantastic. Well, that perhaps will be easy, but, you know, my experience, and I'm sure the experience of many of you, is that it just doesn't work like that. That actually we need to do something as well. Talked about there being a point. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're saved by the grace of Jesus. And God's love for us is totally unconditional. We can't earn our salvation. So however much we do doesn't alter the love that God has for us. But because God loves us, he has work for us to do. And part of following Jesus is actually doing his work. During these coming months, as we look at the way that our church life is organised and look at altering some structures and the PCC meeting that Mark mentioned, we don't know at the moment exactly what that's going to look like. And we don't know what the time scale of all that is. But what's certain is that God has got work for us to do. There's a whole town out there, whole communities of people who are in need, people who don't know Jesus. There is plenty for us to do. And what my role is in that, what God has for you to do, will be different. But there's something for all of us. God has work for us to do. And so we need to be ready for that. We need to be physically fit for, spiritually fit for purpose. If we're sitting around not in a good spiritual state, then we won't be able to do the work, or we won't be able to do the work as well as God would have us do it. So what is all this exercise, this discipline stuff? Well, if you've done any sort of reading on church history, you'll have come across what are often termed the classic spiritual disciplines. And these are things like prayer, worship, fasting, solitude, simplicity, confession, forgiveness, perseverance. It's quite a list. Some of them are quite familiar to us. Others you might think, what? What's that all about? Some of them we think, well, yeah, you know, we've got a bit of a handle on that. That's okay. We've got a grasp of what it's about. Others we will find challenging. But over the coming weeks, we're going to be unpicking those sort of week by week so we can really have a look, well, what is this about? What is fasting all about? How does it work? What is it? How can it benefit us? How can we, you know, if that's something new for you, well, how can we get involved in that? Looking at how we worship, not just when we worship together, but how we worship on our own, when we spend time with God ourselves. What does it look like? How does it help? What difference does it make? How can it bring us closer to God? And through all these things, thinking about how we grow in our faith, how we become disciples. So there will be some cell group material. If you're one of the cell group leaders who got the email that promised it sort of by the middle of this week, I promise you'll have this week's by the middle of this week, but I am just going to pull back a little bit on getting all of them done. But I promise they will be there by the time you meet. But it's good to have opportunity to discuss these things. And hopefully we can put a bit of practical application in as well. I'm sure we've all had the experience you go home and think, well, yeah, you know, I get that. That sounded really good. But how? You know, how do you do it? What does it look like? Somebody said earlier that we're a community. We help one another along. None of us can do this walk on our own. But we can do it better if we help each other. And also, just to close back to these little cards you've been given. There's going to be one of these every week with a Bible verse on it. And then just a sort of little action point, something to think about, something to do. I would really recommend, take this home with you. And whether you want to tuck it in your Bible or just put it somewhere. And as you know, through this coming week, just look at it two or three times. And just use it as a pointer to think and to pray. And it says, take some time this week to think and pray about your own spiritual fitness. What do you think God is wanting you to do differently at the start of the new year? Just a sort of opening as we begin to think about this. So let's just take a moment to pause now. And let's just spend a moment or two in quiet. Just think for a moment. How would you assess your spiritual fitness? Not to beat yourself up about it or be negative about it, but it's to look forward. What is God asking of us? Lord, we want to be your disciples. Lord, we want to be people who are fit to do the work that you have called us to do. And Father, I pray for each one of us over the coming week, you would just open our eyes to what it is you're calling us to. Lord, I pray that we will be willing to really put some work into being more godly people. We're just going to continue now in prayer. Lord, we pray for our world. Lord, we thank you for the beauty and the wonder of your creation. Lord, we thank you for all that you have made. And Lord, we pray for those parts of our world that are struggling with war. That are unsettled. Where life is very hard. And Lord, we pray for those in positions of authority. And Lord, we ask that they would take that authority seriously. That they would recognise the responsibilities that their position gives them. And we pray that decisions will be made with wisdom and with integrity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for our church in this nation. We think of the Anglican Church at this time as Archbishop Rowan steps down and looking towards a new archbishop. Lord, we pray for wisdom at this difficult time with so many big issues, big debates going on. Lord, we pray for our bishops here, for Paul and Tony. And we pray that you would help them to lead wisely.